Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, that's the problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
Madam Chair, I got to talk about something I don't really want to talk about, but I need it to be addressed. So when I got elected in November 22, I got a letter from legal. I was on the health authority, and I was told that I had to get off the health authority because I was going to be a commissioner. When Commissioner Stroberger was my aide, there was a policy that he had to resign to run. He couldn't work for me anymore. Why is your aide still on the contract compensy board?
I've had extensive conversations with Allison around this, and there is no legal requirement for her to come off of that board.
There's a moral requirement.
Is there? Well, we'll talk about it a little bit. This was brought up at the last county commission meeting. You know, there's been the criticism that Mel Luna sat in on the hiring process, at least a portion of it, for the library director position. Now the latest drama is that Mel Luna is on the contractor competency board. That's the the board that looks at making sure that your contractors aren't, you know, misbehaving. There are not very many cases that come up to the actual Board of County Commissioners from them. Mostly it's fairly pro forma, but, you know, that is the board that she sits on, and Mike Kohler is upset about it.
And so I've asked the staff, when we do the hiring process, HR, that we include this. This is not transparent, open government. Everyone knows it. It needs to be addressed.
I'm not sure how it's not transparent. She's been on the board since before she was employed, and it's well known, and it's public access.
We vote on things from the contract compensy board. Commissioner May had his brother on one of the boards. He had to remove him.
We have not.
I removed him on the advice of counsel.
I've been told that counsel advised the chair to remove him.
Okay, so just picking apart the elements, it's not transparent government, and Ashley's like, everybody knows she's on there. She's been on there since before she was an employee and since before I was a commissioner. How is that not transparent? Well, I don't mean it's not transparent. I mean it's not good governance. You know, because we have to remove people from the boards for conflict of interest. And, you know, Luman had to remove Lou Timothy, I assume it's Lou Timothy, from a board previously because that was on the advice of counsel deemed to be a conflict of interest. And Mike's like, see, the attorney told you to remove her and you didn't remove her.
The board needs to make this decision if they want county staff and aides on boards. It's a fair question. That's our job. If a commissioner does not want to do the recommendation to staff, which they're telling me they did recommend this, then we have a decision to make as a board. So I'm asking when we do the HR process that some of that's put in there. I'll leave that at that.
Okay. I just want it noted we did not break a policy or a rule or a law or a state statute. So I understand your preference on this. And if that's something the board wants to vote on, I will advocate for that as well.
So Mike Kohler prefers an aide not to be on a subordinate board. And Ashley says we haven't broken a law. We haven't broken a policy. We haven't done anything wrong by having her on that board. She was on that board before Ashley got elected. Ashley did not appoint her to that board. The question is, did she get any advice from the attorney, Allison Rogers?
Piece that I'm aware of.
She started off by saying the only. I don't know why I cut that weird. Sorry.
Piece that I'm aware of that would address citizen or participation on these committees is that you have to be a resident of Escambia County.
Meaning you don't have to not be employed by the county. You don't have to not be an aide is what she's saying. The only requirement is to be a resident.
Now, there are very specific facts that apply to different things. In the case of your issue, that was a nepotism issue that has nothing to do with anything else other than that. I mean, there are very specific fact patterns that apply to different situations. The written thing that applies in this case is that you have to be a resident of Escambia County.
And so Lumen is not going to love that she called it nepotism, but technically that's what it is. If you have a prohibition against having a family member on a subordinate board, it literally is an anti-nepotism prohibition or an anti-nepotism statute. Lumen just doesn't want to have that word attached to him.
Listen, I really had no problem with removing them. I think that's the right thing to do, but you're not going to tell me nepotism. And then you say, well, someone can have someone in their office to do it, and then you say that there's a nepotism. I mean, that's not fair.
Well, there can be a rule against having a family member and also not be a rule against having a member of your staff. That's not that hard to figure out. Allison Rogers.
It has certainly been my advice for many, many years that our employees should not be on our citizen committees for a number of reasons. It's legally awkward at best.
Have you made that recommendation to the chair?
I have.
All right, so you just don't care. All right, that's good to know.
No, it's not that I don't care. I took it into consideration, and there was no legal obligation for it. I did not appoint her. This board did not appoint her. We have not voted on anything from that board.
And by the way, so you just did not care is very different from you heard the concerns and you acted not in alignment with what the lawyer advised you to do. Those are different things. But as Ashley's pointing out, she didn't appoint her. This board didn't appoint her, as in the ones that are on there now. And also, we haven't heard a case from them yet. You know, would there be a conflict even if they did? Because they rarely percolate up to the Board of County Commissioners is what she's getting at. And so there's been no conflict yet. Now, you might argue, but there could be a conflict if the Contractor Competency Board ever did percolate something up to the board. Maybe then. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives first. So, John, what do you think of my new stager?
Oh, I love it.
I have for years not made one for Escambia County because I couldn't find the right blend of things that I liked. And finally, with this meeting on Thursday, I'm like, oh, I have to. They deserve it.
they deserve it.
So, all right, go ahead. Tell them about traffic on the five.
All right, let's see here. We're still dealing with that one accident that happened on Highway 29 southbound in Kingsfield Road. It's off to the side again, but I'm starting to see some minor delays in the southbound. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
All right, very good. By the way, I do not know. I've got reports in from there being a fire, that there's smoke over on Fairfield, Mobile Highway vicinity. I've seen pictures from the east side coming into town. Also, I don't know. We'll try to follow up on that and figure out what's going on. I literally know nothing. I just heard about it myself, but we'll try to figure out before. 437-1620, 437-1620. All right, back to the conversation about Ashley Hoffberger's aide, Melanie Luna, serving on the Contractor Competency Board, which Ashley did not appoint her to that board, and there have been no cases come up to the board from them since she was on that board. But Mike Kohler is raising a ruckus over this and says it's a, you know, violation of ethics, even if it's not a violation of the law. And, you know, Allison Rogers had advised Ashley that there could be a conflict here, and Ashley decided that it was okay to have her. Stephen Berry, District 5.
You know, this is not my issue necessarily, but what you just said, Madam Chair, there is some value to that. We've not heard an appeal from that board since you've been on the board.
Yeah, they rarely come up to the board.
It does stand to reason that if I was a contractor that went before the Contractor Competency Board and didn't like whatever determination they made, and I appealed to our board, and you know, you took part in the discussion and took a vote that I also didn't agree with, it would seem to put the decision that we as a five-person body have made at some jeopardy if you're, you know, with your aide being on the Contractor Competency Board.
Meaning it's giving them some kind of a ground for an appeal or a complaint or a bias criticism or something like that.
We haven't heard it. We haven't. Over 14 years, we've only heard three appeals. I don't know. It's not many. Two or three. It's not a frequent matter. It's not a frequent matter, and we've not heard it since you were here. It would seem like it would be a problem if we did have one come to us. If I was the contractor, I would think that would give me some standing for a problem. I would feel that way. I'm not saying obviously you've got the discretion to do what you want to, and if it's not illegal, then you know that's why she's still there. But it is, I think, something worth considering if the board is going to hear an appeal.
So the question is, first of all, is there an obligation to remove her or not? is there an apparent conflict or not? And does it create any kind of tension for the county or for that board or for cases that might eventually come up to the board from that subordinate board? Mike Kohler again.
It can be legal morally. It's optically terrible, and it shouldn't happen. And anyone that's been in hiring process, this is where you get IG complaints. This is where you get EO complaints. This is where you get in trouble. I wish we didn't have to have this discussion. It's unfortunate this just wasn't a natural process, but I guess we have to have it because...
Well, you could have just put a recommendation on the agenda.
I don't think that would work because, you know, you didn't listen to staff.
Well, disagreeing with the attorney is different from the board creating a policy and forcing the issue by instituting a policy which does not currently exist, and then she'd be obligated to follow it. So the fact that she disagreed with the attorney and didn't, as you want to say it, obey the attorney doesn't necessarily mean anything, but optically terrible. I don't know. I want to let Ashley have her last comment on this, but I'll give you my analysis because I don't know that I agree with Mike Kohler, but here's what Ashley said at the end.
Commissioner Kohler, I'd like to encourage you to bring solutions, not drama. Allison and HR are always happy to help draft policies that we can vote on to make our community better. So next time, if you could help by doing that, we would all appreciate it.
Madam Chair, I just ask you to do what's right.
Maybe next time, instead of drama, you could just bring a policy recommendation and we could solve it that way. By the way, on the fire, I have learned that it is actually a scrapyard fire, 1000 Myrick Street, which is the EMR scrapyard. They are apparently having a fire again at the scrapyard. So that's what you're seeing. Yeah, it's a pretty visible problem, but, Scambie Fire Rescue has been there. They actually posted about it 2 hours ago, so they're on the scene working on it right now. Just FYI, if that's what you're seeing in the distance, that's what's going on. Okay, feel free to disagree with me about this, but I was thinking about it because, sure, I see the issue of there being an apparent conflict. I do. A person works for somebody else and works for the county and they're put on a citizen board, although before they worked for them and before they worked for the county, but they still maintain that. Should they have to get off the board? If you're Ashley, okay, and you trust Mel's judgment and you believe in her enough to make her your chief of staff, your aide, whatever term you prefer, isn't that exactly the kind of person you want representing you on a citizen board? I'm seriously asking the question. It seems to me like, I think about like, you know, Jonathan Owens worked for Doug Underhill. And I don't think there was ever a situation where Doug appointed Jonathan to, you know, work for him on a board or to work on a board. But like of all the people in the world that understand how things operate in Escambia County, he decided that Jonathan Owens was the most capable, competent person to help him run his office. Well, if Jonathan is dumb enough to be willing to waste his time volunteering on a citizen board, you know, for no pay, why wouldn't you want his skills on that board? In fact, wouldn't you kind of be dying to have people of that caliber on the board? It seems to me like, actually, the fact that Ashley Hoffberger believes so much in Mel Luna as an employee, as a friend, as somebody she trusts, to do the right thing that she'd make her aide, seems like that's exactly who you would want. Now, you might not get them to do it. And am I missing something here? I understand that there's a rule about family members, an anti-nepotism statute. You might make the same case about family that they could, you know, represent you well. But there's apparently a rule about that. So when there's a rule, it doesn't really matter what makes sense. It's that the rule is in place. But that's what I was thinking about all this is I just don't know why it matters all that much. It actually seems like, it's kind of like the rule you've got where if you are employed by the county, they proposed this rule to stop, what's his name? He's a friend now. We have him on the show all the time. From running for county commissioner, you know, if you work on staff, you know, you have to resign in order to run for the county commission to run against the county commission. Like I thought, why? It just doesn't make any sense. Why would you force somebody to give up their job just because they happen to be running for a political office? So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not seeing this clearly. Maybe you see it differently. I did the old smart thing and I asked my wife, I'm like, so here's the situation. What do you think? She's like, yeah, I don't get it. I don't get why there's a conflict. It seems like that's exactly if they're willing to do it, why wouldn't you want them on that board? 723, John, you're nodding your head in agreement.
Oh, I agree completely. And I'm like, it's a volunteer
Yeah, they're not getting paid.
And she was on there before.
And she predated her, you know, and didn't work for the county at the time. So, I'm, you know.
I don't know what.
Same. I mean, Mike is so convinced that this is wrong morally and optically. And I'm looking at it thinking, I mean, it just doesn't bother me.
But bring a solution.
Yeah. I mean, if your solution is to create an ordinance or, you
then
know,
do it.
A policy, then do that. Don't just bring it up as a gotcha and to call it not transparent when, I mean, it's not like it's a secret. You know, she wasn't wearing a mask and a hood when she was in there on the contractor competency board. So, again, if I'm serious, I'm genuinely, if I'm wrong about this, feel free to tell me, but I'm just not seeing the conflict the way Commissioner, who I like Commissioner Kohler. I get along with him well. It's not an issue. I think he's mistaken in this part. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you have a business, you have employees, you've got to deal with benefits, you've got to deal with HR, you've got to deal with, you know, health, insurance, life, disability, all of that stuff. Hey, that's not the stuff that anybody really gets up in the morning excited to deal with. In fact, as I'm talking about it, you're right. I might be twitching a little bit like, I don't want to hear about that, Andrew. Okay, you got into business to do stuff you like and you're good at. Great. You're not good at that and you don't like it. I understand. But Torgerson Consulting, they are. They're very, very good at it. They like doing it. They're weird. Okay, but people think you're weird for, you know, liking to do HVAC or, you know, give legal advice or whatever. Everybody pays other people to do the stuff that they like to do, they don't like to do, right? Okay, so give Torgerson Consulting a call and find out if they might be able to save you money, do better plans for your employees, or just handle stuff in a way that's more efficient or, you know, better than you had before. We've been using them here at Cat Country and News Radio for 5 years, and they've been great. You know, they gave us choices we didn't have before, plans that we didn't know about before, and they're far better at customer service than anybody I've ever worked with before. Just, you know, outstanding. I give them my full stamp of approval. Call them for a no-obligation review of what you're doing, 433-9996, more than 20 years helping local businesses like yours. Torgerson Consulting online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you are on 98 westbound approaching Gulf Breeze, experiencing just a few minute delay there, just wanted you to be aware of that. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you're paying attention to the race for Florida's next governor, then perhaps you know the name Paul Renner. Mr. Renner will be at Northstone Baptist Church here in Pensacola this Sunday afternoon, May the 31st at 1 p.m. I'm going to host an on-platform interview with Mr. Renner, and then he'll receive your questions. Listen, these gubernatorial candidates, they're applying for a job, and we get to conduct the job interview. And remember, in our constitutional republic, these political officials represent us, but they can't represent us well if we don't interact with them. You might say, I don't care who my next governor is. Well, you should. So many of us have seen the moral decline across our country in recent years, and there are many reasons for that moral decline, but part of the blame is to be laid at the feet of apathetic Americans. So let's interview these candidates and elect righteous magistrates. I encourage you to join us this Sunday afternoon, May the 31st at 1 p.m. at Northstone Baptist Church here in Pensacola. I hope to see you there.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County. Our focus is simple: growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Do you know what happened?
I'm sorry, Dave, I don't have enough information.
People sitting on porches, thinking how things used to be. Dark night, it's a dark night.
Getting some texts in here about the issue of whether Ashley Hoffberger's aide, Chief of Staff Mel Luna, should or should not serve on the Contractor Competency Board when she is an employee slash staff subordinate, even though she was on it before either of those was true. Somebody says, couldn't Mike Kohler have just made a motion to remove her from the seat and let the commission vote up or down and move on? Yep, could have. Somebody says, is it Mel or Melanie? Well, I know her as Mel. So, you know, whatever, but her name is Melanie, sure. Oh, Jonathan Owens texted me in here. That's kind of funny. He says, he didn't say, why are you bringing me into all that? No, he did. He says, it's making the news, so it must be an issue. I love that answer. That's great. Oh, somebody says, optically terrible. Optically terrible is walking away from your car that will soon be burning in a citizen's yard. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Wow. All right. Wow. All right.
wow.
Anyway, 437-1620. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Texas is holding its Republican primary runoff for the U.S. Senate today between incumbent Senator John Cornyn and State Attorney General Ken Paxton. Last week, President Trump endorsed Paxton. A co-founder of AI startup Anthropic apparently is agreeing with Pope Leo's call to safeguard humanity from the dangers of artificial intelligence. Chris Olo was invited to speak at the Vatican Monday as the Pope presented the first major theological document of his papacy. In it, he warned that the technology such as AI is fueling global conflicts.
Yeah, part of that, I've only read a little bit of it so far, but part of that is that, you know, AI is part of the technocracy of all about efficiency and productivity as opposed to, you know, humanity and being more what God meant us to be.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. The ceasefire stands even though the U.S. military strikes Iranian targets.
Overnight, the United States conducted airstrikes against southern Iran near the Strait of Hormuz. CENTCOM says the strikes were defensive in nature and went after mine-laying vessels along with a surface-to-air missile position. These were the first U.S. strikes that have targeted Iran since early May.
Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv, Iran's supreme leader, warning U.S. bases in the region are no longer safe. A Texas runoff election pits four-term U.S. Senator as John Cornyn against State Attorney General Ken Paxton. The winner faces Democratic candidate James Tallarico in November. President Trump recently endorsed AG Paxton. And in tragedy in Belgium, at least two teenagers and four were killed when a school bus collides with a train. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got cloudy skies and 75 degrees. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. Escambia Fire Rescue says a large scrapyard fire on Merrick Street is sending heavy smoke into the surrounding area this morning. Officials do say that fire is contained and it's not a threat to nearby structures. But if you're driving through the area, again, there will be a lot of smoke and you're asked to use some caution there. Regional military leaders are gathering tomorrow at UWF for the third annual Tri-County Military Forum. Santa Rosa County Commission Chairman Colton Wright says that event will bring together the commanding officers from every major military installation in the region for a rare public conversation.
We'll have Captain Chandra Newman. Everyone knows Mama Sauce and A.S. Pascola. Captain Ted Elkins, you know, Thumbs from Whiting Field, and Colonel Clayton Schutte, who's deputy commander out at Herbert, will all be there. And they're going to give some updates. I'm sure they won't be giving any secret information out, but they'll certainly be giving some generalities, and I think also just some statistics, interesting facts about the installations, what they do.
And Wright says military activity in Escambia and Santa Rosa County generates $8.3 billion in regional economic impact. That's more than 52% of the local economy. Congressman Jimmy Patronis will also be at that forum tomorrow. Well, a 59-year-old Pace man is behind bars after allegedly becoming aggressive and making physical contact with fire department personnel during an emergency call Sunday. The Pace Fire Department said Curtis Faircloth attacked a crew member while they were on scene. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office responded and assisted with that arrest. Faircloth is being held in the Santa Rosa County Jail without bond. A Century Correctional Institution inmate is facing new charges after allegedly spitting on a correctional officer. The Florida Department of Corrections says 30-year-old Yomi Williams Jr. assaulted that officer during an incident at the facility. Williams was serving an 8-year sentence out of Alachua County for multiple counts of aggravated battery of a pregnant victim and burglary with assault. Well, Santa Rosa County deputies near Jay wrangled a loose cow this week after it was struck by a vehicle. Sheriff Bob Johnson says that's really not as unusual a call as it sounds.
It happens on a semi-regular basis, so the guys that work Jay are used to it because that's normally where it occurs at.
And Johnson said the cow came out okay despite the vehicle collision. Deputies used their patrol cars and eventually their bodies to ensure the animal was secured until the owner could be reached. Johnson said the Jay area sees those calls regularly enough that deputies assigned there know the drill when the call comes in. Well, thrill seekers will have a new attraction coming to the Naval Aviation Museum this week. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report.
The Naval Aviation Museum is giving aviation enthusiasts an opportunity to fly in formation with the Blue Angels. The museum's new Fly with the Blues interactive simulator opens this Friday. You'll fly a full-scale replica cockpit of an F-A-18 Super Hornet. This, by the way, is the only ride of its kind in the world. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Exciting things there. It is cloudy and 75 right now. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just one accident on the big board right now, South Fairfield and 98 at that intersection. And we're seeing some roadblock associated with that one on 98. So just be prepared for that. Let's see here. 98 westbound approaching Gulf Breeze. You're seeing about a 5-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, high near 82 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Wednesday, 40% chance of rain, high near 82. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into Thursday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 82 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, cloudy skies, 75. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Eli Lilly shares have risen 1.3% after the company announced plans to acquire three companies for almost $4 billion in cash as it looks to expand its research and development business into infectious diseases. Eli Lilly said it had agreed to deals to buy Cerevo, Ematech Biologics, and Vaccine Company. The board of British energy major BP has announced it has unanimously decided to remove Chairman Albert Manifold, effective immediately, citing governance oversight and conduct issues. BP shares dropped as much as 9% upon the news. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman said the rapid development and adoption of AI will not lead to a global jobs apocalypse, and the technology has not yet claimed as many white-collar jobs as he had feared. Speaking at a Commonwealth Bank of Australia conference in Sydney, Altman said he was initially concerned about the impact AI would have on global employment levels. Futures are moderately higher as investors hope for a U.S.-Iran peace deal. That's Your Money Now.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. Let's have a rendezvous. This week, Gretch Lyles and the Modern Eldorados take the stage at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, bringing country and rock and roll the way it used to be to Bands on the Beach. Plus, don't miss out on shopping at the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Planning your vacation?
Chris, what do you want to go on a vacation?
Why not take Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin with you?
We're going to go to the beach.
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
That's good.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go. And it's absolutely free.
That's really good.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3, no matter where in the world you are.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
All right, I don't know that I want to make a... well, I do. I prefer to make a habit out of this, but, you know, Sheriff Chip Simmons is here, and 2 weeks in a row going into the summer when it's fairly non-eventful? Is that an acceptable cop way of saying it? Because I know you just don't like that Q word, but, you know.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chip. Welcome back, sir. Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me. Welcome, sir. Welcome back to the
there
show.
There you go. Now
Does that
we're
make
talking.
You feel better?
Now we're talking.
All right.
What's going on? So for your listeners' pleasure, we typically, before we start, we say what we got going on. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's been kind of a slow weekend. And to your point, we had a couple of small things, but what we call them is unusual, anything serious. And fortunately, we have we've been doing pretty well the last couple of weeks.
That's good. I mean, the highlights. Can I start with the one that I shouldn't have found this as entertaining as I did, but the great hair fight of 2026 outside of what, Chaser's Lounge? Is that what it was?
I haven't seen the report.
Okay,
people send me videos all the time what they see. And you got to look and see, because most time
it's hard to
most
tell.
Time somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're wondering what's going on. But in that particular case, it looks like our deputy was there. There was a rather large fight. I'm going to look into it as soon as I step into
the office. A few dozen people at least on the outside, 50 yeah. to 100. But then maybe a dozen or two dozen girls were all fighting with each other. And the reason I call it the Great Hair Fight is because you could see in at least one fairly vivid scene where the deputy went to apprehend one of the girls who was running away. Grabbed her by the hair. Well, the hair was not, let's just say, permanently attached.
Right, right.
And then afterwards, several people were picking up their hair. Like, that's what came off in the fight with these girls. So,
yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at. All I saw was the video. That probably the same one that, or pieces of the video
pieces of
that
it, yeah,
you've
yeah.
seen. I don't know that I have time to view
all of
the
them.
Videos.
Yeah.
But it looked like he was trying to keep her from engaging in a fight, trying
right.
to break up a fight like we do oftentimes. But I'm gonna see if there's some clear body camera footage
until
that we can tell.
Well, it's a hard thing. He's probably working security detail, extra duty.
Or he was the first one there, right?
Right. And, there's a fracas and, gets out of hand a little bit. And what do you do when you're one police officer right. trying to control a crowd of people who are, thankfully they're not attacking him, but they're still attacking each other, and it's hard for one person to handle that, right?
Yeah, it's about patience. He certainly showed patience yeah. with that one girl, but again we're gonna take
look
a look at it
okay.
from a bunch of different angles.
We had a guy using fake money, to buy stuff in Cantonment. Is that right?
Well, he tried to get some money and walked into the credit union over there on Gulfwinds Credit Union on 9 Mile Road. And he gave her $200 bills, trying to get some real currency. This really makes little to no sense, but the money itself said is copy play money. It's clearly movie prop type money. And whenever she said no, the lady that worked there said, no, this is not real money. He said, well, I got some more. And then he gave her more prop money. he's not overly smart. Anyways, we collected 12 fake bills. And into evidence, and he is charged with the counterfeit money. We don't see counterfeiting as much as we used to, which is odd because there's so many. I say it's odd. I find it odd because there's so many high quality
the technology
printers,
yeah.
and you can get almost any different kind of paper you want. But I guess that's why the government continues to change their money and have these things embedded in them. And apparently, it's difficult to get that exact paper.
Yeah. Do you think that it's the anti-counterfeiting technology is so good, everything from the cloth that they're made out of to the little inserts and the reflective and the hologram. Like, is the anti-counterfeiting stuff so effective, or, I mean, I'm not sure I can come up with any other explanation because, as you said, the printing technology is widely available. You know, you can print anything these days. If you could find the fabric, you know, to make them, you could probably do it. I think it's
technology is we don't do as much cash.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point, too. Not as much cash transactions. Also, you know, I suppose there could be something, the idea that, well, it's so good, we don't find it. I mean, you know, it seems less likely. Yeah, but
the people that deal with money all the time, they know the feel really quickly. Anyone that's ever worked at a register of any type, so you're at a bank, then you can easily, you know, you hold up to the light, they mark little things with it. But most of them can tell just by the feel that this isn't.
You know, I wonder how much of that, I'm just kind of musing, but I wonder how much of that knowledge of real versus fake has faded because people are doing digital transactions so much. I remember being a cashier and, you know, back when it was basically all cash.
Back when it was cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember that if somebody would come in and pay with a bill, even if it was an old bill, if it was like from the 30s or the 40s or, you know, it was in a, you know, You notice instantly. And so anything that was off, anything that was, you know, incorrect, you notice instantly. Why? Because, you know, it's the old adage, you know, how do you train people to spot fake bills? We'll train them on millions of real bills, right? That's how you learn.
Right.
But if you're not encountering that many real bills, maybe you don't have the basic discernment to catch the fake ones. But you're right. I mean, people, cashiers, anybody else, you know, they see it, right?
Yeah, they still have money in their drawers.
Absolutely.
They still check it. I do remember a story about, wasn't there a foreign country? And one of your listeners probably can call in or text in, that they had billions of dollars in fake currency. And the thought there was they were going to put that in the United States economy.
Destabilize our
money.
Sure worked out well. We're talking to Chip Simmons, the Scambia County Sheriff. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on South Fairfield and 98 right there at the intersection. It's off to the side of the road, and I'm seeing some minor delays at that intersection all directions. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, somebody here sent me a suggestion. They said, isn't it probably more profitable and easier just to scam people digitally than to invest in counterfeiting these days?
Yeah, oh,
probably
I don't know if it's more, but it sure seems like we're having a lot more frauds and a lot more of the digital type of crimes than we do just the hand-to-hand stuff.
You had an incident that I suppose you could call it a double shooting, but that's probably not a fair description given how the outcome looked in Cantonment and Pleasant Valley Drive, right?
Yeah, more of a double hitting, I guess, hit by bullets. You know, how many times we talk about weapons and you can open carry and concealed carry? And you just got to be careful, you know, when we caution people to understand what they've got and how dangerous it can be and never point to fire on, which is the first thing you don't understand, right? Never point to fire at anyone.
Every gun is loaded. Never point it at a person unless you're willing to kill them. Right.
Exactly. And really, the number one rule is don't point it at anyone. Even if it's loaded, you're not going to hit anyone. All right. And, of course, this happens. And we get probably an accidental shooting probably once every 2 weeks, which is a lot, which is too much. And in this particular case, a guy was cleaning his gun, ended up hitting himself, and I think the person sitting next to them, non-life-threatening injuries, fortunately. But the deputy determined at the scene that it was an accident, and while they obviously didn't do the right amount of care, there was no children involved.
Yeah.
So
how do you shoot two people cleaning your gun?
Well, I mean, I guess if you hit the finger, it doesn't really stop around too
well. All right.
And if you're sitting next to each other kind of showing people how cool your gun is.
Yeah, I guess some people in an actual gunfight miss 10 times and one guy's cleaning and he shoots two people.
That's in the movies. They certainly miss them.
That's unusual success level. Exactly. We got graduations are going on, and you don't really work security so much for those. That's PPD, typically at the base center. But you always want to make sure that after parties don't get out of hand, right?
Well, you know, we, during the summer months, really throughout the calendar year, we look at different things where we might want to ramp up our impact or our resources. We did that for the Memorial Day weekend. We're going to do it again 4th of July at the beach, and we talked a lot about that. So we'll do the same thing at the beach, knowing historically kids will, when they graduate, they'll want to hang out somewhere. And if they hang out at the beach, then we want to make sure that we have some extra staffing up there. But we had some conversations, not just the beach, by the way, just in general, you know, at the locations or where teens or recent graduates, 18-year-olds, might try to congregate.
Anything over the weekend with Memorial Day? Any, you know, down Portofino area? Anything you guys had to deal with?
I did not get a single text.
Wow,
I didn't get a single complaint.
Take it.
I didn't get a single. I'm not saying a report didn't come. We probably made some minor stuff, but I didn't get anything regarding the beaches were crowded.
Yeah.
I know it rained a lot yesterday, but yeah. Saturday and Sunday it seemed like it was pretty good. Certainly Sunday was a really good beach day.
I actually, on Saturday, I was with some people, and one of them was talking about going to the beach and wanted to know how the traffic was, and I had pulled it up, and it was like 11, and it was green all the way to the beach. And I thought, it must be people are scared because they perceive it to be a high traffic day, and so they're avoiding going to the beach or at least avoiding going at that particular time. I'm like, well, now's the time to go.
Or the weather. Sometimes it's raining at your house, and it doesn't necessarily,
yeah, you
know,
that's true.
It may not be worth it. But, you know, as you know, you've reported it a lot also. That the beach is as busy as it's ever been.
Yeah, so, yeah.
We're gearing up for a good summer.
You had an IED call last week, right? The bomb squad, I guess you call them that. Is it such a thing? Is that the right way to describe it? Had to go out to an alleged IED?
Yeah, I think it's Hurlburt Field, whatever they call themselves, EOD.
Oh, you called it in from yeah. Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, but we don't have one.
Okay.
So we call them, and they're always good to come and help us out. And as always, it's not a real bomb. It's practice dummies or flares or something like that. And I believe that was the case in this situation as well. We always encourage people to not touch them because you never know.
Yeah.
That some of this ordnance, as they call it, could
Where was this at? Live.
I don't know exactly or
the,
where it was.
Do you remember, like, no, what did it look like? I know the one at PSC, we never kind of got a lot of details about that one, but I guess it was sort of looked like fake dynamite or something. But do we know anything about this one particularly?
I understood it was like containers full of liquid or different different things. So everyone just thought, oh, let's just double check to make sure this is not explosive material.
And it turned out to be nothing, just
and
leftovers.
It turned out to not be. No, they took it, and they're going to dispose of it somehow.
Right. Very good. Anything else you want to let people know about going on right now, Chip?
No, I we're gearing up for the summertime. We want to make sure people understand. Behave yourself and be patient.
I like that. Chip Simmons, he's the Escambia County Sheriff, as always, joins me on a Tuesday to talk about what's going on in Escambia County. Sir, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. 7:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430. Again, 800-478-6430. 6430.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You're talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
How's the patient, doctor?
He's gonna make it.
He came in with a sheet.
One little mistake.
Good Good morning, 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Man, we're getting, how many calls have we gotten now about this fire?
A few.
Yeah, several. Escambia County Fire Rescue is responding currently about 2 hours ago to a fire at the EMR scrapyard on Myrick Street. So the old Southern scrapyard, if you think about it by that name. Anyway, that's what's going on. That's what you're seeing. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. Iran is accusing the United States of violating the ceasefire after U.S. forces carried out what the Pentagon is saying were defensive strikes near the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. says the strikes targeted missile sites and Iranian boats that were allegedly trying to place naval mines in the strait. The exchange comes as Secretary of State Marco Rubio said negotiations on a possible deal to end the conflict are getting close. Voters in Texas set to hit the polls today in the Republican primary runoff for the U.S. Senate between incumbent Senator John Cornyn and State Attorney General Ken Paxton. President Trump announced that he was endorsing Paxton last week. And Ferrari has revealed its first fully electric car. The Luce can hit 60 miles per hour in 2.5 seconds.
Jeez.
And very affordable, Andrew. Only $640,000.
Oh, all right. That or That's two easy. Houses. Or, well, house yeah. and a half these days. Wow. But how much?
2.5 seconds Oof. For 0 to 60, yeah.
You're being Man. Pushed back in that seat.
Oh, yeah. Man, have your head against the backrest
yep.
when you're going on that. All right. That's, I mean, motorcycles don't even do that typically. Like a CBR is, what, maybe 4 seconds, 3.5 seconds? I don't know. I have to go look. It's been a long time since I cared about these things. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens is got the traffic on the fives for us. John?
That's right. Let's see here. We've just got a tip that emergency responders are blocking the southbound traffic on Pine Forest at I-10. So it's down to through traffic in the far right lane. So just be aware of that. That's going to cause you some major delays. And let's see here. 98 westbound approaching Gulf Breeze. Seeing about a 5-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I did a little fact check on myself. I was about right. A CBR 500 is about 4.5 to 5.5 seconds. Super sport slow. Bikes, 2.5 to 3. So that's super motorcycle speeds for an electric car. John, you want to split one?
Yeah.
Except you wouldn't want me driving and I wouldn't want you driving it. So.
See? There. And so it works out really good.
Absolutely perfect. That's exactly the way you want these things to go. Hey, if you... John bought a sports car and he drives it like a grandma. Andrew bought I've got a Civic, right? And I drive it like a madman. So
you do.
It's about perfect.
It does. It fits perfectly.
That's right. Joint ownership. Be the death of both of us. Yes. Hey, if you are working on a home improvement project, you need supplies, you need advice, you need drills, hammers, safety gear, or you build things for a living or anywhere in between, Pensacola Hardware is your place. And, you know, I talk about them as a great place to get supplies, obviously a great place to go to get advice, too. They know how to use the things that they sell. Also a great place to get housewares, you know, grills and cookware and skillets and Yeti merchandise. But also, honestly, and I know this is kind of a weird suggestion, but hear me out, a date. It's a good date. You're always looking for like creative place to go for a date. Go take your sweetie or your maybe sweetie, you know, first, second date. It's only a maybe sweetie. But, you know, take them to the hardware store. And you think, how can it be? Well, to find out. First of all, it's a historic landmark. I mean, it's been in business for, you know, more than 50 years, more than 100 years, more than 175 years they've been in business. So there's that. Also, you know, they just the fact that they've got everything. They've got all kinds of stuff. If you can't find something fun at Pensacola Hardware, I mean, just, you know, like I said, it's a great place to buy gifts. It's a great place to buy hardware. Or just, you know, go see it and say you saw it. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, which is just so crazy. Let's see, 7:57 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? this made me laugh. John, you haven't been dating in a little while.
Right.
You know? You and Talisha have been together, what, like 6 years?
Almost
6 years. Okay. would you go on a date just to get a free meal? Now, this is, I suppose, more likely to be the females, but I suppose nowadays right. all kinds of people are paying for all kinds of things. And so the question was, would you, this was at the Asbury Park Press. I don't know how I came across it. Would you go on a date just to get a free meal out of it? If so, you're not alone. 1,500 adults surveyed. by financial services company J.G. Wentworth says 40% of respondents said they already had. They'd gone on a date just to get the meal.
Do you know how expensive dinner is?
Well, a lot, right?
Right.
28% haven't, but would think about it, and 33% like, nah. Average price of a first date. Take a stab.
$120
$93, $94 is what they say. But weirdly, going out to a meal is not the preferred way to go on a date.
It's not.
Top things to do on a date are go for drinks at a bar, 37%. Play board games, 36%. Take a walk in the park, 8%. Expensive things like ice skating, bowling, or going out to the movies or to a restaurant below 5%. So people aren't going out to food for the first encounter because you don't want to spend all that money and maybe, you know, whatever. But here, back to the main question, would you go on a first date just to get the food out of it? There's a lot of disagreement about splitting the bill, who, if you offer, if you ask, you're the one to pay. If you suggest the activity, you're the one to pay. I just think, I mean, how hard up are you for good food that you would tell somebody, oh, sure, I'm interested, but we're going to Iron, right? You know, I mean, you know, we're going to Jackson's though, right? but my favorite part of this story, though, is, again, the headline, would you go on a first date just for a free meal? See what the survey found. The you know what they called it? Foodie calls. It's pretty good. Give them credit for that. We'll be back talking to Jimmy Petronas coming up next.